Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled the message for this morning, Who is the Blood For? Who is the blood for? And I'm, of course, speaking of the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's tree. Who is the blood for? Now, when Noah left the ark, we read where God said, Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Now, right after Noah came off the ark, God said, you can eat anything, but the blood of that animal you eat is not for your consumption. That was given before the giving of the law. And then we read in Leviticus chapter 17, and whatsoever man, this is verse 10, this is the law, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. In the Levitical law, we were commanded to not eat blood. And then in Acts chapter 15, the church at Jerusalem writes a letter to the church at Antioch. The church at Jerusalem represented the Jewish believers. The church at Antioch were the Gentile believers. And the church, pastored by James, writes this letter. And he says in verse 28 in this letter, For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood. Now this is after the law. The early church was told not to eat blood. Now this was not keeping a Levitical law. You don't have to worry about all the other ceremonial laws, but this one you do. He's not saying that at all. This is a gospel issue. Now my question is, why? Why this command against the consumption of blood? And there is a very simple answer. The blood is not for me or you. The blood is for God. Now understand, for God to do something for me or you, He first had to do something for himself. And that's what the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. It's God doing something for himself, making a way for him to do something for me or you. That is what the blood is for. It is for God. God said, when I see the blood, not when you see it, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In the book of Leviticus, when we're given all those laws concerning the sacrifices, the blood was set over 50 times to be set before the Lord, before the face of the Lord, before His eyes. For God to embrace me or you, He had to do something for himself. You see, God could not embrace me and you the way we are because he's holy. We're sinful. So he had to do something for himself about our sin before he could accept me or you. The blood is for God. Now, the book that we call the Bible is about the character of God. That's why he's given this book, to show us who he is, his character, his holiness. The Bible is given to show the true character of man, altogether sinful. That would describe me, that would describe you. Altogether sinful. The scripture says even our righteousnesses before God are as filthy rags. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And the Bible tells us how a holy God can embrace a sinful man through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is what this book is about. The blood of Christ is everything in salvation. Now, I've heard men say with regard to the blood that this is barbaric. This is a slaughterhouse religion, talking about so much blood being shed. Why does blood have to be shed? Why does the Bible make such an emphasis on sacrifice and blood and so on? Now, my dear friend, let me say this. If I make any apology about preaching on the blood, it's that I don't preach on the blood enough and that I don't make it clear enough. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. When Paul summarized his preaching, he said, "We preach Christ crucified." That's the same thing as saying the bloodshedding of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. He went so far as to say, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The shedding of his blood. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, "God forbid that I should glory, that I should have confidence in anything save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the place of the shedding of his blood." Now, the first thing that I would like us to consider is whose blood was shed. Remember, we're considering who is the blood for. Well, first of all, whose blood was shed? This is the blood of the God-man. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, "Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." This is the blood of the God-man. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. The only reason I cannot be condemned is because of who it was that died for me. Now, if I died for you, it wouldn't do you any good. But we're not talking about just the death of some son of Adam. We're talking about the death of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. By his own blood, the scripture says. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, by his own blood. He was the one who brought his blood to the Father. You see, the blood is not offered to me or you. It's not brought to me or you to where we can accept it or reject it or receive it or not receive it. The blood is brought to God by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, this blood is eternal blood. Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. And God's eternal purpose is the slaying of the Son of God as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And really, this book, the Bible, can only be interpreted in light of that verse. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is God's eternal purpose. It's the most godlike thing God ever did, and it's his eternal purpose. The world was created, the universe was created. Adam fell for this purpose, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His blood is the only sinless, innocent blood. His blood is the blood of the Son of God. It's God's blood. Somebody says, how can God have blood? God's a spirit. God is a spirit. But the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, is man, the God-man. He became flesh 2,000 years ago, and he still has blood pumping through his veins. There's a man in glory, and his blood is innocent blood. Now, there have been billions upon billions of people who have died over the years, and nobody died with innocent blood. But this man, you know, even Judas understood. He said, I betrayed the innocent blood. Paul said he knew no sin. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The dying thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss. The Roman centurion said, seeing him die, surely this was a righteous man. When Satan came, the Lord said, with regard to him, the prince of this world hath come and hath found nothing in me. Now, if there was something to find, he would have found it. He's the accuser of the brethren, but when he looked over the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no sin. His Father testified, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. Now, when he was made sin, he was guilty. He didn't die in innocence in that sense. The sins of God's people became his sins. He took my sins and my sorrow and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. His blood became guilty in the sense that my sin became his sin. The sins of the elect, the sins of his church, he became guilty of the commission of those. And he died under the justice of God as the sin bearer. But he never sinned. Now, the fourth question I would like to ask real briefly, but this is so important. Who was that blood shed for? Now, it was the blood of the God-man. It was the blood of God's eternal purpose. It was the only innocent blood ever shed. But who was that blood shed for? And you can't preach the blood of Christ if we don't tell who his blood was shed for. Now, I've already quoted this scripture. Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Who did he purchase? The church of God. That represents every believer. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Not everybody's a sheep. He said to a group of people in John chapter 10, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. He didn't say you're not my sheep because you don't believe. He said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. You see, Christ has a people called his sheep, his elect. Those for whom he died are the elect of God, those the Father gave him before the foundation of the world. Now, 99%, and I would say that that's a generous term, of what is called Christianity teaches that Jesus Christ shed his blood for everybody, all men without exception, and it's offered to you. It's up to you as to whether or not you'll accept it or reject it, whether you'll receive it or not receive it. His blood was shed for you, but as far as it doing anything for you, it's up to what you do with it. Now, my dear friend, there is no gospel in that message. If somebody preaches that, they do not preach the gospel if that's what you believe. You've not believed the gospel yet. I pray that you will, but you've not believed the gospel yet. You see, the only hope that I have is that Jesus Christ died for me. And if you tell me that he can die for me and I can end up in hell anyway, I will end up in hell. And you've taken away the only hope I have. My only hope is that the death of Christ, his precious blood, actually saves everybody he died for. And if that's not so, then I have no hope. Who was the blood shed for? You can't preach the gospel and not answer this question. His blood was shed for the elect. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, that His blood is sanctifying blood. Hebrews 13, 12 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood." Now this is very important. Most people, most religious people, when they think of sanctification, they think of your behavior. Now, I'm not saying our behavior is not important, but that's not what sanctification is. Sanctification is being made holy. And the Scripture says we're sanctified by the blood, made holy by the blood. And that's pictured in that laver. Before you could enter into the holy place, first you had an altar, then you had a laver. The altar was for the sacrifice. The laver doesn't represent you cleaning your own act up. It represents the continual cleansing of the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's sanctifying blood. You see, it's blood that God is satisfied with. I love to think about that. The satisfaction of God with the blood. God is satisfied, and the proof of that is the resurrection. That means God's satisfied with everybody He died for. He wouldn't have raised Christ from the dead if He wasn't completely satisfied. He's not looking for anything else. You see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is redeeming blood. God is completely, infinitely satisfied with what Christ did. He's not looking for anything else because Christ made a full redemption. The price has been paid. Peter said, "For you have not, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, which was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but is now in these last times been made manifest to you who by Him do believe in God." Now, we don't sing, "Jesus paid a half, the other half I owe." We sing, "Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow." You see, His blood is justifying blood. Romans 5:9 says, "Being now justified by His blood." You know what that means? His blood makes it to where I've never sinned. I stand sinless before God. I stand perfectly just before God. That's what justified means. That means I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have no guilt. I have never sinned. That's what justification is, a state of sinlessness. That's what the blood of Christ accomplished. It's called in the Scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, peacemaking blood, having made peace through the blood of His cross. You know, people say, "Have you made your peace with God?" No, I've not made my peace with God. He made my peace with God. He is our peace, having made peace through the blood of His cross. He made my peace with God. And because of His blood, I have, every believer has, the complete forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, listen to this real carefully. Salvation does not end with the forgiveness of sins. It begins with the full, complete forgiveness of all sin. It doesn't end with forgiveness. If you do this, this, and this, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. Oh, no. It begins with the full, free, complete forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and future. You see, this forgiveness was accomplished by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many things I love about His blood, but I love this. There is present cleansing in the blood of Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us." Present tense. Right now. "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now here is the fact of the matter. I am always sinning. Present tense. Right now, even while I'm preaching to you. Somebody says, "Well, what are you doing?" All I got to do is breathe and sin because of my sinful nature. I never have a perfect motive for anything I do. My preaching, I wouldn't want anything that has my fingerprint on it to appear before God. I need continual cleansing. I get my feet dirty every single day, and I have to have my feet washed every day continually in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, His blood continually cleanses from all sin. And His blood actually gives us boldness to come into God's presence. Well, you talk about being a sinful person, and yet you say you have boldness to come into God's presence. Listen to this scripture. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, the very presence of God, by the blood of Jesus." That's where that boldness. I don't have boldness about myself. Oh, but I have complete belief that His blood makes me acceptable in God's sight. And that's where that boldness comes from. And I can come into the very holy of holies with boldness and confidence because of His blood. Now this blood we're talking about, this blood that's for God, is the blood once shed. You know what that means? It doesn't need to be shed anymore because when Christ said it is finished, it was finished. Everybody He represented was saved. And there's no need for anything else to be done. It's the blood that was once shed by His one offering that He did one time in a particular place, Golgotha's Hill, at a particular time, whenever it was, some 2,000 years ago. That's the only time it's going to happen. Because He finished whatever it was the Father gave Him to do. It's the blood once shed. Now where the remission of these is, the writer to the Hebrews said, there's no more offering for sin. Don't you try to bring one. The blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one offering that is complete. And I love thinking about this. We read in Revelation chapter 5 of heavenly worship, that door opened into heaven. And I've already pointed out from the scriptures that before time began, Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here is the subject of eternity future, if I can use such a word as that. We read that the great throng around His throne in Revelation 5, singing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation." The song of heaven is, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Oh, that's the theme of heaven, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read one other scripture to you. It's found in Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read this. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn and look at it with me. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Well, let's start reading in verse 23. "For all have sinned." That's me and you. All have sinned. There's no difference between the most moral man and the most immoral man on the earth in God's sight. All have sinned. We sinned in Adam, and we sinned in ourselves. Now, somebody is saying, "Are you saying there's something wrong with morality?" No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in God's sight, there's no difference between the most religious man and the most vile man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption," the blood shedding, "through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, a sin-removing sacrifice," is what that big word means, "whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. What do I know about that? Faith in His blood. Do you have faith in His blood? Are you relying only upon the accomplishments of His blood? Do you believe that God is satisfied with the blood of His Son? So satisfied, He looks for nothing else. Are you personally relying on God's satisfaction with the blood of His Son? Do you believe that the blood is the blood of the Son of God, the uncreated, eternal, sovereign of the universe? That one who is so high and so holy that He could come into God's presence, the Scripture says, He took the book from the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. He didn't ask for it. He took it as equal with the Father. That's the blood we're talking about. The blood of the man Christ Jesus, who is God, the God-man, equal with the Father. Do you believe His blood is eternal blood? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you believe His blood is sinless blood? Saving blood, satisfying blood, sanctifying blood, redeeming blood, justifying blood, peacemaking blood, continually cleansing blood, forgiving blood, the blood that is final, no need for anything ever to be done again, the blood that emboldens, the blood of heavenly worship. Do you have faith in His blood? Now, there is no more important question than that. Are you relying on His blood as the only reason you can be brought into heaven? Now, if you believe, stay with me, if you believe that His blood can be shed for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway, that means you're not relying on His blood only. You're relying on something you've done to make His blood work for you. Now that doesn't work. Remember, the blood was shed for God. For God to do something for me or you, He had to do something for Himself, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He made the way for God to be just and justify the ungodly. Thank God for the blood of Christ.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.